Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
So if I can just ask you all a quick favor, if you agree with what I'm saying, can you just like let me know? Like, can you just be like, yes, John, or amen, or just like pull it out of me. Just kind of, if you agree with something that I'm saying, just let me know, and we'll make this a little bit more interactive if possible, and we'll just enjoy our time together here this morning. A little bit about me. So my name is John, as I said. I am Canadian. I'd say a boot sometimes, and I like to talk about snow and things, not to fulfill any stereotypes. I have been in Perth for 3 years, so this is my third year that I have been here. I originally came to Perth to get a job. So I had a job before I came here, and in the business realm. So I graduated with a commerce degree, and I was like, I'm going to travel, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. And so I guess I am technically doing it. I never saw myself being a young adults pastor. I never saw myself being a pastor in the first place. But I love what I'm doing now, and God has completely changed my heart, and I'm super excited to be bringing a message from God this morning to you all as well. So the visa that I'm currently on is a student visa. So that means I studied all last year, and I'm kind of riding the wave of the bridging visa. So I'm waiting for my next visa. But I took a graduate diploma of divinity, which is kind of a fancy way of saying I went to 1 year Bible college last year. No need for the specifics. And when I was in Bible college, my professors always told me, if you're going to preach a message, if you're going to share a sermon with at church, there are some things that you have to do at the beginning. You can never be negative. You always have to be positive, and you have to start with something cheery. Who knows that I don't always listen to my professors at uni? Can I get an amen? So I'm going to start with something a little bit negative, but let's ride the wave and see where it goes, okay? In your life, you are going to experience pain. In your life, you are going to experience pain. Thank you, everyone, for coming to The Rocks this morning. We're so happy that you came here to join us. But in your life, you are going to experience pain. Jesus said it this way. In John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, you will have pain, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There may be pain that you cannot control. There's different pains that we will experience in our life. Some pain that you can't control, maybe illness, maybe you will be sick. Like Gabriel was mentioning earlier, he's sick from Calista. I'm also feeling a little bit under the weather. These are things we cannot control. Maybe your company is downsizing. Maybe you might lose your job, or you have lost your job. These are pains outside of your control. But what I want you to talk about specifically this morning is the pain that we choose and the pain that we can control. For example, you can face the pain of listening to your parents, or you can face the consequences later. Choose your pain. You can choose the pain of studying now, or you can choose the pain of retaking that course later. Choose your pain. You can choose the pain of living within your means now, or you can choose the pain of scrambling out of debt later. Choose your pain. You can choose the pain of saying no to temptation now, or you can choose the pain of trying to get rid of an addiction later. Choose your pain. So what I'm going to be talking about this morning is choosing discipline over regret. Choosing discipline over regret. So we don't want to end up like this guy, no regrets in our lives. We want no regrets, but we also don't want that tie. Well, if you want, you can have it. No judgment. I think the best place to start this morning is to define what discipline is. And it's a bit of a working definition, and you may agree with me, you may not agree with me, but I want to share my version of what discipline is this morning, and this will kind of be the framework of my message going forward. So to me, discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Choosing between what you want now and what you want most. I may want this now, but I'm choosing not to pursue that because it's not as big as what I want most. You know, a lot of the times we know exactly what decision this is, and we know exactly what we're doing and what decisions we have to do to know what we want most in life, but we just don't make that choice consistently. And that's why this morning I want to talk about choosing, it's a choice, choosing discipline over regret. I thought the best place to start would be in the Bible. we're at church this morning, so hopefully that's not a huge surprise or a huge shock. But I want to talk about this guy whose name is Paul. And Paul is a fascinating guy. He is basically wrote about a third of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And he has some like firsthand experience with Jesus. You know, he witnessed the resurrected Jesus. But I love this verse that I'm going to share with you because it shows how much he is struggling. Paul, this guy who has interacted with the resurrected Jesus, is struggling with this exact thing that I'm struggling with as well, with maybe what you're struggling with as well. So I want to read from Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I can just love the struggle because I can see myself in his words. I can see myself in his shoes. And I also struggle because I do what I don't want to do. And I also hate it as well. Paul goes on as well. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And you can see his mood completely shift in verse 25. Thank God. Thank God. The Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love watching Paul struggle, which sounds a bit weird, but I love watching Paul struggle because it just makes it so much easier for me to understand as well. Someone who has firsthand experienced Jesus is also struggling with some things that I am going to be struggling with as well. So Paul writes a lot of different letters in the Bible, but the one he uses a lot of sports metaphors, and I absolutely love the fact that he uses so many sport metaphors because I grew up playing a lot of sport, competitive sport. I used to play basketball, so in high school and in university, I played state level basketball. We came second, which really sucks, but like it's still good. So I'm quite a competitive person, and I really enjoy sport. And so growing up, I maybe didn't have as close a relationship with God as I would have liked, but as soon as I read these scriptures, as soon as I could relate directly to these passages that were sports metaphors, it really kind of talked to me in a very personal way. And so that's why I love these kind of verses, and I'm going to be sharing a few of them with you this morning. So I'm going to be sharing with you 1 Corinthians 9:24, and Paul is talking about a race. And I'll just read it for you now. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? And his name is Usain Bolt. So run to win. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. If you're going to run the race, you better be running to win. You better run to win if you're in the race. You know, as athletes, there's so much work that goes behind the scenes. There's so much stuff that you maybe don't see at the game. You know, there's the practices and the dieting and, you know, the training. When I played at university level, we would have practices 5 times a week. We had games twice a week and rest 0 days of the week. And we would have to be on a strict diet. We had to get to bed at a certain time. We had to treat our bodies like a temple. So if we consider ourselves a Christian today, why is it any different? Why aren't we running the race to win? Run to win. We as followers of Jesus, we are running for an eternal prize. It says it at the very end there. We do it for an eternal prize. We don't do it for the trophy or the medal, but we're doing it for an eternal prize. And I hope that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you want to be disciplined to win. You know, I want you to want to be disciplined to win. If we are disciples of Jesus, then we should be disciplined in these things. The word disciple actually comes from the word discipline. And if we are a disciple of Jesus, it means we are disciplined in the things that are pleasing to God. If we are followers of Jesus, we are disciplined in the things that are pleasing to God. Run to win. You know, in this passage, Paul is writing to a specific audience. He's writing to the Corinthians in Corinth. And basically, he knows the exact audience that he is talking to. He knows specifically the people and the culture and the environment that he's speaking to. And it's really intentional in that way. So at this time, Paul is actually writing and relating this metaphor to what is called as the Isthmian Games. But for ease, I'm just going to call it the Olympics because I have a hard time pronouncing that other word. So just picture it as the Olympics. This is the Olympics that we're talking about, kind of in layman terms. And Paul is writing specifically so people can relate and can understand this metaphor as well. So when you watch the Olympics, you kind of have this patriotic, I guess, pride. I always cheer for Canada, even though they're terrible at anything that's not to do with snow. You know, like they're always like, go second last. Yeah, not last. Like, you can do it. And like you just naturally have this attachment and patriotic pride to the country or the people you're associated with. But when athletes go into training for the games, especially in this time, they would go for 10 months of intense training. They would have like no junk food, you know, they can't have wine. You know, they would expose their body to like really hot temperatures and then like really cold temperatures. They're conditioning their bodies in order to be as prepared as possible for the big race which is to come, which in this case is for a prize that will fade away, but they are preparing themselves day and night consistently for what is to come in 10 months' time. I don't have the verse here, but there's a verse in Hebrews that I absolutely love, and it goes something like this: let us strip off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us strip off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Paul is talking, or the writer of Hebrews is talking specifically about races and about this Olympics that Paul is also referring to, that the runners, the athletes would literally strip off everything that they're wearing so that they could have nothing that hinders them during the race. Now, I have a picture of this. I'm just kidding. I don't have a picture of naked people. Anyways, so they would literally strip themselves of everything so that when they're running, they don't have anything holding them back. There is no excuse as to why they couldn't run their best race. That's another reason why I don't want to be in second as well. Run to win. Run to win. If there's anything getting in your way from pursuing Christ, then we're called to strip that away so that we can run to win. You know, one thing that I am going to listen to from my professors at Bible College is this idea of application. So right now we're going to move into the application, or what is also known as the so what. So kind of based on what we've heard so far, what is the so what and how can this look in our lives specifically today or moving forward? And so this is the application part of the message. And I really, really want to encourage you this morning that if you have come with an expectant heart, if you have come to hear from God, you will hear from God this morning. If you have the right mindset and the right heart to that, no matter what happens, no matter what I say, that you are going to hear from God this morning, then that is the heart that you need to be in this morning. And I strongly, strongly believe in the power of words. I believe in the power of saying things out loud. I believe the power in writing things down and declaring something, because when we put it out there, Jesus hears us, and then he was able to respond in that way. If you're not a Christian here this morning, that's totally cool. I love that you took this bold faith, step of faith in coming here this morning, and we just want to welcome you. But I still want to encourage you to participate in this next section. Worst case scenario, you write some stuff down, and you never look at it again, and you throw it away. But what if you hear from God this morning? What if you, when you write something down, you actually experience what we've been talking about this morning, and you experience a word from our God? If you're a Christian as well, I want to encourage you to participate. This is a chance for you to engage, and this is a chance for you to get something super tangible out of the message this morning. And so I'm going to ask a question. It's a very simple question, and just write down the first thing that comes to your mind. You can write it on your phone, your notes, or text message to yourself, maybe a pen and paper, whatever it is. But I really encourage you just to lean in and participate in this application part of my message. Here's the question. What is it that I want most? It's easy, right? What is it that I want most? Whatever the first thing that comes to your mind, just pop it down. What is it that you know you should be doing, that you should be pursuing, that maybe you haven't yet? What do you want most? You know, a common answer if you're a Christian here today, or maybe if you're not even a Christian here today, is I want to get to know God, or I want to get to know God better. I want to become in a closer relationship with God. That's awesome. Maybe what you want most is to lose 20 kgs. Maybe that's where you're at, and you really just want to lose and take care of your body in that way. Maybe for you, it's time to pay off those credit cards. Maybe it's time to get out of debt and to do a tangible action in order to get out of debt. Maybe for you, you really just want to work on your relationships. Maybe you're in a marriage that you're maybe struggling with, or it's just kind of flatlining, or there's maybe your brother or sister that you just haven't had a perfect relationship with, and you just really want to correct things in that area. Whatever it is, jot it down. And don't feel embarrassed. No one's going to be looking at your whatever you're writing. If someone's looking at you, just be like, yo, Karen, stop it. Like, this is my personal business. Like, or Glenn, get out of here. Like, this is really important to me. And just take the chance to be vulnerable and to experience something that maybe you didn't think you would be able to experience here this morning. I only have two questions, so I have one more question to share with you. And this is what it is. What do I need to choose now to achieve what I want most? What do I need to choose now to achieve what I want most? What do you need to choose in your life right now to move in a direction to get the things that you want most? Again, this shouldn't be a really hard question to answer. You should already have a direction or an idea of where you're going with this. For example, if you do want to lose those 20 kgs, we have an amazing personal trainer, Rohan. I'm not sure where he is. Oh, not here. Okay. This guy's like ginormous. Like, he's like a bodybuilder. Go talk to him and get a diet plan with him. Go get a personal trainer somewhere. A very easy way to answer this question. If you want to pay off your credit card debt, what better way than to join Cap Money, which was in the announcements earlier today? What a better way than to join people who will help you get out of debt. We've actually already filled up this CAP course as of this morning, but we'll take your name down if you still are keen to pursue this path of CAP money, and we'll let you know when the next one is. But people this morning took it very seriously, and they did take that next step to join CAP money. So join them in taking this question seriously as well. Maybe if you want to work on your marriage, you need to focus on spending more time with that person in your life. The tangible thing, the very methodical thing to do would to find a counselor, a good Christian counselor who will help you through this time, or to find another couple who you can open up with and share whatever you're going through. But if you said you want to get closer to God, if you said that this is something that you really want in your life right now, then I want to share with you five very tangible things, very easy things that you can do to get closer with God as well this morning. And so they all start with a letter G, which is pretty sweet. And we're going to go through them right now. So the first G is gather. So the first way to get closer to God is to come to gatherings. So any of the gatherings, as you see listed on the screen, the fact that you've all come here this morning shows that you are at some level interested in getting to know God a bit more and getting closer to God. We have Sunday services, we have the Rocks Kids, we have Youth, Ignite, and Young Adults. At all of these places, we have practical teaching. Practical teaching is, I guess, what I'm doing technically right now to you guys. And you will always receive a word that is from the Bible, from the word itself. And you will be able to see how you can apply that into your life. And so when you come to gatherings and you receive this practical teaching, this is a way for you to get to know God more and to get closer to him as well. The second G is groups. So this is my personal favorite one. This is like the best one from personal experience, because when you get into a small group, when you get into a group of people who have the same goal as you, who are the same life stage, who want the same things as you, just life, your life changes. Your life just, you just grow for the better. You just learn, and you get advice, and you give advice, and you stretch yourself, and you ask your question, oh my goodness, like, God must have put someone in my life for this to happen. And you're right. That's exactly what it is. God places strategically people in your small groups that can help you specifically with what you're going through. In small groups, you also learn about private disciplines. Private discipline meaning reading your Bible or how to pray, or even like giving out financially is a private discipline as well. So you learn all these things in groups. And this is when true life change happens, when you can learn it, not when you're in a row and in your line, but when you're in a group, in a circle together and doing life together. The third G is get involved. So this is a fantastic one as well. This is another fancy way of saying volunteer or join your personal ministry. I think the best thing is the idea of stretching yourself beyond what you think you can do. And the best example that I can use for this G is basically the idea that when you have that hard conversation with someone, let's say you're in the new guest lounge and then someone comes up to you and is like, hey, this is like what I'm going through. Like, I don't really know what to do next. And the whole time they're speaking, you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God, I don't know what to say. What do I do? What do I do? And then what you actually say is like fantastic. And what you say is like gold. And you know, and it has to be from God because you have no idea where that came from. And you're like writing notes on what you're saying. You're like, oh, this is like really good. Like I'm delivering gold right now. That is God working through you. And that's a way to get closer to God as well. And when you're on a ministry team, and when you're serving, you meet people as well. And so this is why providential relationships are a massive part of getting involved as well in joining a volunteer team, because you get to share these experiences that you've had, and you get to serve others. And when you serve others, and you put yourself in a place where you're serving others, you just grow so much yourself as well. The fourth G is give. So this is a private discipline. I kind of mentioned it earlier. As Christians, we're called to give to the church. And when we give from a place of joy and become a place of humility, and we give back to the church, and we have kind of no idea, or we kind of are a bit scared about giving something, we are forced to stretch ourselves. We are forced to rely on God's providential characteristics, and we are forced to rely on God and how he's going to work in our lives. And as soon as you give that up and you have that peace and you are tithing or whatever it is, God will meet you where you are, and you will get closer to God because you will see how God works in your life and provides for you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. The last G is go. So this one is also a really good one. And I'm going to be speaking to the Christians, the people who consider themselves Christ followers here this morning. Go means going out and making disciples. And basically, I feel like this is the first one as a mature Christian to maybe stop doing. You know, when you have that new faith for the first time, within that first year of knowing who Jesus is, you invite like all your friends. You're like, oh, I can't stop inviting people I love. I can't not share this. But I feel like as you get older and more mature in your faith, this actually stops a little bit more. This is something that you get comfortable in the first four. And maybe you're like, I'm killing those first four. Like, I give. Like, I'm in a small group. I serve every weekend. I always come to Sunday mornings. When's the last time that you invited someone to church? And so I want to challenge all the Christians here this morning that is a tangible step that I can see is very applicable to us as in our culture here at The Rocks this morning as well. And you might be saying to me this morning, well, you know, joining a gym is hard, or doing these things is hard. Yes, yes, it is hard, but choose your pain. Choose your pain. Would you rather choose now to suffer the pain of what you want now, or choose the pain of what you want most? You need to choose discipline over the pain of regret. Choose what you want most over what you want now. Run the race to win. Run to win. Athletes go into this strict training and discipline their bodies so that their bodies can do what it should, so that they can run to win. We also need to be doing this as well. I love in 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking again, and of course it's kind of a bit of a athletic metaphor, but I want to read from you 1 Corinthians 9, 26 to 27. So I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Shadow boxing is kind of like this. You're kind of just practicing on the side, but you're not actually getting into the game. So like, we're not called to be just like training our whole life, but not actually applying what we do in our life. We're meant to get in the game. We're meant to put some skin in the game. We're meant to make ourselves vulnerable and to run the race as well. We're disciplining our body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. You might be looking up at from the seats up on stage and being like, well, John, you know, like, you're a pastor. Like, you have your life together. You're super disciplined. Au contraire. Like, I am probably the least disciplined person. I have a few people that can attest to this exact thing. But I choose with purpose in every step so that I'm choosing to be disciplined. And discipline, being disciplined is a choice. And it's something that I choose daily. You know, when I was part of my basketball team, it was a struggle to go to the weekly practices, man. Like it was, or the daily practices. Like it was so challenging. But I, with purpose, made myself go every single time because that is what we are called to be as discipline. I want to share a quick metaphor and a quick, I guess, word picture of kind of this whole message, and it kind of sums up really well kind of what I'm trying to explain here this morning, what I'm here trying to share with you this morning. And it's from a Christian psychologist, actually. I don't remember their name, but Jesus. Basically, like, this metaphor, it just really encapsulates the idea of what I'm trying to speak on tonight. So imagine yourself at home, and you are going to get in your car. So you're first thing in the morning, you're about to go to work, and you're about to get in your car. Your goal in life is to keep your lawn looking beautiful. You don't want to ruin your lawn. Like that is your goal. So when you wake up out of the morning and you walk out the front door, do you turn right onto the pathway and then left down the driveway into your car? Or do you cut across your lawn and then ruining your lawn in the process, or getting in your car from there? The problem is that sometimes we want to walk and take the shortest distance possible from the front door to the street. And we even though we know in our mind what we want most is to have a beautiful lawn, but what we want now is the shortest possible route. And so we walk across the line and therefore not getting what we actually want most, but what we want now. Yeah. You know, if we do this once, that's okay. You know, it's just once. If we do it twice, you know, hey, we all make mistakes. But as soon as you're doing it 3-4 times and you make a pattern, you're actually making a neural pathway in your brain. And you're telling yourself that actually this is okay and this is the new standard. This is the new habit and this is totally okay for me to do. I want to travel the path of least resistance. And you need to. And you are not disciplined in taking the slightly longer direction in order to get into your goal and to get what you want most, not just what you want now. And it's interesting, after some time of you intentionally making that habit of turning right onto the pathway and avoiding the lawn, you know, my mom always told me that it takes about 3 weeks or about 20 days to start a new habit. And so after you like really intentionally discipline yourself to turn right instead of going along that grass pathway, you'll actually notice, hey, my lawn is actually beautiful now. My lawn is back. This is what I wanted. And you're thinking about, you're intentionally on with purpose in every step, taking the pathway, but what's happening in effect is that you're gaining your beautiful lawn, which is what you want most. But if we don't do this, this is how addictions happen. When you are taking the shortcut, you kind of get like a little bit of a shot of dopamine in your brain and being like, whoa, like that's like kind of nice, like it's a bit rebellious, but like, hey, like it's the shortest path of least resistance. Like let's try that again. And then this is why we are addicted to things. But you need to intentionally discipline yourself to take the pathway to the and not take the grass of the lawn on the way there. So how do you break those addictions? You say to yourself, what I want most is a nice yard. What I want most is what you wrote down on that last question. What I want most is to lose 20 pounds. Therefore, I choose not what is easy or what I want, but I choose what I want most. I don't choose what I want now, but I choose what I want most. There is purpose in every step. There is purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. So I'm honoring God with trying to create this new habit. And what happens over time, like I said, you start creating a new neural pathway in your mind that says, wow, like this is the new pathway that I'm going to take. And you create a new habit as well. This is our daily life. This is my daily life. This is not something that I'm like, oh, that's easy for you to do, or like, this is easy for me to do as well. This is a daily decision that we have to make. This is a daily discipline. And I love bread. I love carbs, and I love anything to do with carbs. And so I went to Bread Top the other week. And who loves Bread Top? Yeah, Bread Top's fantastic. So Bread Top is basically just like a bunch of bread. And basically, I walked in and I was like, oh man, like I could probably have all of these. And I really like that swirly one. And there's like a hot dog one. And there's like a pork floss one, which I don't know what pork floss means, but like it sounds really cool, so I should try it. And we see all these different temptations for me in my life that I take. And I have to remind myself daily to walk with purpose and not grab those pork floss buns. Because, you know, when I do decide to have that pork floss bun, I'm not saying that it's a sin to have bread top, but when I choose to have the bun, it's because I do it with purpose and because I'm honoring God with my body, and I choose to have it at that time. And I know this is a daily thing as well, and each step we do is with purpose. Run the race to win. But you have to ask yourself, how do I consistently do this when I'm not consistently strong? How do I do this when I have those struggles, when I have those times where I don't know how to resist that temptation? And, you know, there's a great verse in 2 Corinthians by Paul that goes something like this. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. He's speaking about Jesus. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles. In that pain in your life, that you will find pleasure in that pain that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. You know, a lot of the times when we don't feel like we can do it ourselves, that's when God works the most in our lives. If we can stop just long enough to ask for Jesus to fill in that gap in our lives, to be like, take that 2-second pause and be like, Jesus, is this what you want for my life? Is this something that is honoring to you? Is this helping me get what I want most, not just what I want now? And if you take that second and have that conversation with Jesus, then when you are weak, when you are struggling, when you are facing that temptation, then you are strong because he is strong. When you are weak, he is strong. And he is always strong and he's always there with you. But I recognize that this is a daily thing as well. So this is my bottom line. My bottom line is I know I am going to have some pain, but I refuse to have any regrets. I refuse to have any regrets. Name it. Name it what you want. There's power in naming what you want. And when you name it, refuse to have that happen in your life. Refuse to have that thing that you want now take over what you want most. Refuse to have those regrets, maybe 20 years down the line, or maybe even on your deathbed. I refuse to have that what if I did this statement. I refuse to be like, if only I had that conversation with someone. If only I invested in my life, in my personal ministry. If only I spent that time with God, then I wouldn't have any regrets. I refuse, absolutely refuse to be in that state. I want to run the race to win. I'm running this race that we're all called to do. To win. I love what Paul says. And he says, how miserable am I because I didn't change that thing. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be miserable. And I know there will be pain. You know, there'll be pain that you can expect, and there's pain that you can have control over, but there's also pain that you won't have control over. But I refuse to have any regrets. What do you want most? What do you want most? If you do something about it now, it will most likely become, if you don't do something about it now, it will most likely become your greatest regret. So do something now so that it will not become your greatest regret. Run the race. Be disciplined. Train your body like the athletes did. And what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose discipline over the pain of regret? Because I'm going to choose the pain of discipline over the pain of regret.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.